This shiur today is the chin of Eretz Yisrael, by which I mean the following, that when they just had the Big Sim Hashas in MetLife Stadium, it took about a year and a half for the Agudah to organize it. And tickets were on sale 7 months in advance, and everyone was tumbling for a year and a half. In Eretz Yisrael, they had something in the Yad Eliyahu last week. I think by the time the actual date of the Sim Hashas, they hadn't even started planning it yet. There were no tickets. Everything here works in a different realm of existence. So if I give a shiur in America, usually people give some advance notice, an asar, or some other special shiur. Rabbi Silverman called me up last night and said, I heard in Eretz Yisrael, can you come give a shiur tomorrow morning? So it's a different way of operating. I'm happy to be here. It sounded like what he wanted was a little bit more in the realm of the practical. So what I'll try to do is just go through some aspects of Seder Gad. Obviously, we can't learn all of Hilchos Gittin in 45 minutes or an hour. I don't have anything specific prepared per se, but we'll follow the Seder Gad that appears in Shulchan Aruch after Simen Kuf Nadal, which those of you have in front of you. We'll make some aris about some of the practicalities in Hilchos Gittin, and please interrupt, ask questions, whatever. I don't have any particular agenda, so if you want to take the conversation somewhere else, feel free to interject. What you have in front of you is just a series of some of the various documents that we use for Sidrei Haget, which we'll make some reference to as we go on. So in Seder Haget, the end of Siman Kuf Nadalid, we begin by saying, Yesh Nisharim Nilasadir Haget Be'er Shabbos. That there's a kapeda on the books not to do a Seder Get on Erev Shabbos because people are rushed and Gittin requires a lot of expertise and precision, and we're worried that if you're going to do a Get on Erev Shabbos, you may be rushed. The same reason that it says not to do a Chalitza on Erev Shabbos, not to do a Din Torah on Erev Shabbos, things shouldn't be rushed. Rav Henkin famously said that in America everything's a Shas Etchak, because in America if someone is willing to give a Get today, there's no telling what's going to happen tomorrow. So in America, we do Gittin even on Erev Shabbos. I think in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut's closed, like everyone's closed on Erev Shabbos, so they don't do Gittin too much, but we do Gittin all the time Erev Shabbos. It also says not to do a get on Rosh Chodesh, especially the second day of Rosh Chodesh, because it's a machlokes, how do you reference, the first day of Rosh Chodesh, it's a machlokes, how do you reference it? So we say, B'yom Shmonim Liyarech Ploni Shehu Rosh Chodesh Ploni, but that's a machlokes, so it says not to do a get on Rosh Chodesh. In Eretz Yisrael, I think they're a little bit makbid about that, where they can. In America, we don't have any problems doing Gittin on Rosh Chodesh. It also says not to do again in Chodesh Iyar, because the machlokas, whether you write Iyar with 2 years or 1 year. So we make that, I think, even the Rabbanut, after they're closed Olo Chodesh Nisan, they don't close Iyar too. That would be, if they had a business 2 months straight. So that, even in Eretz Yisrael, they do Gittin during Chodesh Iyar. I'd like to say that we would do again, even on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Shechal Yes Be'er Shabbos, because... you know, if you have an opportunity to do a get, you do it because who knows what's going to happen the next day. There's also discussion whether to do a get b'layla. You might have seen those of you learning the halachos at the Piskei Tshuva course in the beginning of Hilchos Gittin and Noda Behuda. The Noda Behuda was of the opinion that a get is a maisa bastin. Maisa bastin we don't do at night. That's generally a minority opinion. Most assume that a get itself is not strictly speaking a maisa bastin. It could be that sometimes the p'tur that we sign with three chasimos may have a status of a maisa bastin. But Seder Get itself is not considered a Maisa Bezdin. Some Ikra Din, you could do a Get Balayla. The Chachila, we try to avoid it, all things being equal. So most of what they did, we'll try to do Gittin only by Yom. But if there are extenuating circumstances, someone works during the day, he's not willing to come during the day, or whatever, there's a Shas Etchak, then we do it at night. Rav Henkin, who was the major Masada Gittin in New York during his years in the mid 20th century? So he worked in Esther's Torah for Esther's Torah during the day, and he famously did Gittin lechachila night because he said apparently that there weren't other people who were as qualified to do Gittin, and he had a job during the day, so he couldn't do Gittin during the day, so he did Gittin at night. There's a story of the Marsham. The Marsham, before he was the Rav in Brzezhan, was the Rav in Bialystok. I believe it was Bialystok. So there were two things there that got the Baal Batim upset at him. The ones, apparently, he was Mesadir Kedushin, Ben HaShmashos, Erev Shabbos, like the Shubas HaRamah. There was a Sikhsuch about the Nadan, and the hour got late, and he was worried that if they don't do the Kedushin now, then the poor girl is going to be destroyed. So he did a Seder Kedushin, Erev Shabbos Ben HaShmashos, and the Baal Batim were upset at him about that. Imagine what the Baal Batim they were like. What do our Baal Batim get upset at the Rabbanim about? So the Baal Batim were upset at the Marasham about that. Then a different time, like a week later, I forget which one was first, which one was second, the Marasham did a get balayla. And the Baal Batmer said, hey, can you do a get balayla? It's a Maisa Besdin. So the Marasham said, you saw two milsa ditmiyas, and now you're going to see a third. So unbeknownst to the Marasham, the next week, he got a Ksav Rabbanus from Birjan, and he took that as a simit min Shammai, and it was time to move on in his career, and he accepted the Rabbanus in Birjan. That was all because of a get balayla. So all things being equal, we'll do Gittin Bayom, but we don't really... We don't have such a problem if you need to do a get balayla. Fine. Then it says Yasmin Sofer v'shnei edim sheirim sheinu krovim zelazev alel bavul isha. Have to make sure that no one's related to each other. So we try to be makbil lechachila for a get, kind of like kiddushin that even a shlishi b'shlishi to bal kishtos revi maybe, but I guess in principle is what to be makel about. Then it says you have to make sure that there's no chashash psula of the edim. The edim have to be totally upstanding citizens. They have to be totally observant. They can't cheat on their income taxes. Anyway, we tell them that be mahar b'tshuva before they sign the get, because in case there wasn't any avera, they shouldn't have any avera over their hand. The way we say by edei kedushin. Also, Rabbi Melech Shaftus Zichrono Livracha, when he was Mesader Get, used to say, Eidim, Tshuva. And it says, V'lochem Eidim ha-mevinim esaget. They have to know what they're signing. So Eidim Ksub also, they have to, Eidim should know what he's signing. So I was, sometimes Mesader Kedushin, where Mesader Kedushin get angry when the Eidim Ksub try to read the Ksub before they sign it, but they really should know what they're, and Eidim Ksuba once had a Kedushin that was officiated at by one of the members of the Moetzes Gedolei Torah in America. And he was like getting annoyed at me that I was reading the Ksuba. I'm not sure why, but an Eidim again is more chamer than Ksuba. It gets more chamer than Ksuba. So we have to be makbid that the Eidim should know what they're reading. Give a welcome to my old chavrusa, Rabbi Adi Galib. Good to see you. We had a mice a number of years ago where usually when we do Gittin at the best, and we have a roster of Eidim that we use, Balonim who come in to sign the Gittin, they know what they're doing. They're on some level Tamid Chachamim, at least trained in Hilchas Gittin. Every now and then you're stuck in a situation where you don't have that luxury. We had a mice a number of years ago where there was a fellow who was affiliated with the conservative movement who had appointed a Dunaminoi of a sofer and Eidim to write and sign a get for him. And we'll talk, if we have time, about some of the details of these kinds of minuyim. But the sofer that he was memana was a conservative rabbi, one of the members of the roster of conservative Mesader Gittin. And it happens to be the two Eidim were Shomer Shabbos Orthodox Jews who were Chabad truck drivers in the town where this conservative rabbi was from. And there was no way that we could get this husband to agree to do another minoy of proper Orthodox sofer. So we did some investigation into the bona fides of this conservative rabbi. We found out that he himself was a personal Shomer Shabbos. And the Eidim were definitely Eidim Kshayrim. So in this Shas of Chak situation, without going into all the details that went into the equation, we were comfortable having the conservative rabbi write the get with our team being Omed Al Gabov to make sure that he did it properly. Because anyway, the sofer is not as critical in terms of his religious bona fides as the Eidim are. And the Eidim Chasima, we had Chasim there in front of us, and then we ended up with the kosher get. Now, those Eidim Chasima were not necessarily the biggest Rash Bahags, so that was a little bit of an avoda to make sure that everyone understood the... what the get meant. It didn't seem like they had done this proficiently so many times. They have to know what they're doing and what they're signing.
What do you mean? They know that they're getting divorced.
They have to know what the words in the get mean. It's complicated Aramaic. They have a copy in front of you.
Well, why is it important that they're
not
divorced? The question by Megillah.
Right.
Would it be enough that they're getting divorced? Would it be sufficient?
So you could talk about b'di'evad b'shas hadchak if they knew the tamsis adarim, if they knew what the Torah meant without the without the tofes, maybe. But lechachila, they should understand what they're signing. Okay, just skipping a little because the Seder again is kind of lengthy. We don't have all day. So it says, "Sarshi akirish zehu ploni v'zo ishto plonis ala imkenu shas hasatkana." So that's the Mishnah of kos and afapishe makir mishas hasatkana. But generally speaking, lechachila you have to have hakara and you require edus hakara. Now, Yisrael, the Batei Din insists that anyone who comes to Bezin for a get brings along edus hakara. So edus hakara is like edus ishtamodai for a chalitza that you don't have to have kasher edim. You could have krovim, you could have noshim. If you want to be mechabed a woman with a kibbutz at a get, you can appoint her as an eid hakara. So in the Rabbanut, they insist that someone bring a formal eidei hakara before any get. In America, we don't have that luxury because if you make things too difficult, then people aren't going to come, especially a good percentage of our clientele are not really Shamrei Torah Mitzvah, so to get them in the door is a big thing to begin with. So we don't insist. Rav Moshe, I don't believe this is in print, but Rav Moshe Mipia Shmua said that it's sufficient to have, for Eidus Hakara, you don't have to have formal Eidus, it's sufficient to have Kelu de la Mishaili Inchi. If you have a photo ID, a driver's license, a passport, is something that a person normally wouldn't lend out. So it's sufficient to have Kelu de la Mishaili Inchi. If a person presents a photo ID, then that is sufficient edus hakara. So optimally, if someone is able to come with someone else who could say edus about their identity, then that's better. But if not, we rely on photo ideas, keli d'lo mishayli inchi. They have to have hakara that this is a husband, that this is a wife, and that they're married to each other. How do you have hakara that they're married to each other? So either you have edim who come and testify that they're married to each other, or they produce a ksuba. So lechachila, we tell people to bring a ksuba with them before the get, so that also identifies the fact that they're married to each other. If there's no ksuba, then we also rely on if the photo IDs have the same last name for both, meaning if the wife took on the last name of the husband, so then that's also sufficient evidence for our purposes to indicate that they're married to each other. If the wife didn't take the husband's last name and there's no ksuba, so then we would ask for a marriage registration form or some other kind of, or worst, pictures of the wedding to indicate that they were married to each other. So that's the edus hakara. It is theoretically possible that someone could lend out their ID to someone else, and they could pretend to be someone who they're not. But bli ayin hara, we haven't had that in our Beis Din. There is a maisa that Rabbi Zilberstein has in one of his svarim. I think it was Rabbi Zilberstein from Reb Chaskel Abramsky. From the Dvar Yeshua, Dayan Ehrenberg in Tel Aviv. He's one of the big Dayanim a couple generations ago. And then I hear Rabbi Heinemann say the same story about Rav Moshe. I wasn't able to follow up with Rabbi Heinemann to hear if he was an Eiria to this or if that was reliable, because it's unlikely the same story happened with both the Dvar Yeshua and Rav Moshe. But anyway, with someone, the Maisa was that... That a couple came to the Beis Din for a seder aget, and the wife came in with the dog, and the dog was barking very strongly at the husband. So the dayan realized something was amiss, because if this was their dog, there's no reason that the dog should be barking at the husband. So he did a little drisha v'chakira, and it discovered that the miskareshes wasn't really the miskareshes, and she was part of some ruse to fool the Beis Din and stand in for the real wife. So it could happen. Nothing is foolproof, but experience has shown usually that's not the case. Especially in America, people are a lot less proficient at being mizayif things than Eretz Yisrael. It's here, people know the culture more. They know what you have to say to fool a Beis Din. Just you read some of the Piskei Din that come out every now and then about, especially Biur Yadut. There's a case in the Haifa Beis Din a number of years ago, of someone who wanted to prove that they weren't a Kohen. So they went to such a length to redo the matseva of the grandfather that had the adayim of a Kohen on it to fool the Beis Din into saying that he wasn't a Kohen. There's a whole psak about that. No one in America would go to do that. Okay, then it says, Imam Megarish Ushkime Rat Sarach Ledakte Bokshi Yashafu Bishas Ksiva Shasin Sina. So a person has to be Shafik Bidaito between the Ksiva and the Nesina. If a person leaves that state of Das between the Ksiva and the Nesina, that could be a problem. We probably learned those sugyas again earlier in Hilchas Gittin. Comes up every now and then, if Rechmanu Litzlan, someone has some kind of early stage dementia or Alzheimer's, who may not be fully in control of everything and fully aware. So you really have to evaluate those situations on a case-by-case basis with the help of medical and mental health professionals to determine whether the person is properly shafui bidato, less extent bidato, to know whether they are capable of giving a get, of authorizing a get. We had a couple of cases of people in this situation of relatively early dementia where if you asked, you could explain what a get was, and they would understand that. And then maybe a few minutes later, they wouldn't remember what the last conversation was. But in principle, they understood what was going on. So in those cases, Rabbi Willig was involved. We had two similar cases, relative close proximity to each other, where the get had to be done either shlich because they couldn't be in the same room, but Rabbi Willig sat with the megaresh in one case the entire time that it took to write the get and then to go over to the woman to deliver it, kept on talking about the fact that we're doing a get, to make sure that he wouldn't lose awareness of that. And then and while he was doing that, we went and delivered the get elsewhere either shlich. So that comes up sometimes as a little. Rabbi Willig has a shtickle about the difference between Beis Nona Yontif, the difference between a Pesi and a Shota, which should be relevant to this also. Sometimes it could be someone with this degree of relatively early dementia, maybe a Pesi, not a Shota, and therefore it wouldn't be an impediment to Ksiva Saget.
What criterion for dementia would be problematic?
So in terms of Bar Das in general, not limited to dementia, the way the classic case in the Gemara are the hay lav cases of winter coat in the summer and winter summer fruits in the winter and things like that. So as a baseline, we would ask those kinds of questions, and not necessarily is it plum season, because people eat plums all the time in theory, but if it's 90 degrees outside, you ask the person, do you need a coat? And then the double hay and single lav, you ask a question three times and ask if they answer hay and lav appropriately, not necessarily in order. So then that's a further indication. In terms of general competence for Schwartz, Gedalia Dov Schwartz, Arbezin, Shedav, Refuah Shleima, usually say that if a person is capable of getting themselves up and dressed in the morning on their own without help and can kind of move around independently, so that's usually a good indication of there being a Bar Das. So that's in terms of general Bar Das. In terms of recollection and awareness, we would start with the hay lavs, the winter coat and things like that. Okay. So it says, Asofer, Klafa, Diova, Komus, Kol Shar, Klei Ksiva. So Yavi, Asofer, Klafa, Diova, Komus, Kol Shar, Klei Ksiva. So then, Yinei b'matan l'baal v'baal yikbeim l'knosam. So that's a machlokas you showed him. One, the ikra din, that has to belong to the baal, but at least l'chachila, we give the baal the entire gamut of the klaf, dio, komus, and all of klei ksiva. The baal makes a kinyan of it, b'fnei ha'edim, so that we write the get with the klei ksiva of the baal. The sofer has to remember, the mesader has to remember to be koneh back afterwards, otherwise the sofer is going to be out of business going forward. That's more of an issue sometimes if you'll do a minoy nefbas, where the get's not necessarily being written right away, so then you have to, if you're going to be makna the klei ksiva to the baal, you have to remember to be koneh it, to get permission to be koneh back afterwards, to be able to use it for other gittin going forward. Okay. So then the Seder get starts with the bitul modas. So we ask a husband to make sure that he's giving the gamir son a tov, lishem onus of lishem tonight. If you take a look at the English Seder get that you have beginning on page 2 of the Mar Makomos, so this was drafted originally by Rav Melech Schechter, Zichrono Livracha. We touched it up a little bit about 10 years ago with slightly more contemporary English, although much of the English is still, let's say, not contemporary. But the first question is just the catch-all, are you giving the get mirtzon ha'tov? Number three, we added in just to deal with the issues involved with the New York State get law. New York State, there's get law one and get law two. Get law one provides that the party that is petitioning for divorce in court, in order to be granted that divorce, needs to be able to declare that he or she removes all barriers to remarriage. Removes all barriers to remarriage is a code word for giving a get. The get law one doesn't really create major issue problems because the person is not entitled to a civil divorce. And if the statute is that if you want a civil divorce, then you need to remove all barriers, and that doesn't really rise to a level of ISUI. The bigger ISUI issue is Get Law 2, which allows a judge to take into consideration when dividing marital assets whether both parties have removed all barriers. So that is a serious issue of ISUI Mamon, if there could be financial penalty for not giving a get. So in order to just flag any potential Get Law issue, we added this question relatively recently, to ask whether there's a judge or court proceeding of Avdim case, and then if there is, you have to deal with that on a case-by-case basis to determine whether there's any potential ISUI issue. If a husband is giving a get because he fears financial consequence or being financially penalized if he doesn't, then that's a real serious ISUI issue, and there have been occasions where we've refused to do a get because of that potential chashash ISUI. Okay, so then, as a matter of course, we do Ataris Nedarim, which are the next few lines over here, just in case a person ever took a neder that could harm the validity of the get. We do a pro forma Ataris Nedarim. The Ikar Adin, you only really need to do Ataris Nedarim if you know that there was a neder, but in the contemporary Sidrei Gittin, we do it as a matter of course, because why not? If you're in a rush and the husband will stick around for more than an extra minute, you could dispense with the Ataris Nedarim. The more Me'ikar Adin is a Bitul Modas. So that's what it says here in the Seder Aget, that you have to have him be Mevatul Modas b'fnei Edim if he ever made a statement that could harm the validity of the get. So that's what we have in English translation here in number 14, which is Bitul Modas b'fnei Edim. It says in the Seder Aget that the husband should not talk minyan aget during the get proceeding, and the husband shouldn't go walk around because you're worried that he shouldn't say anything that could potentially be mevatel aget during the get proceeding. So some bate din or makir, they don't let the husband talk at all during the get proceeding. We're not as makir. We insist that the lechachila, the husband, stay in the room, so we keep our eye on him and see what he's doing, and make sure he doesn't talk about minyani haget. And if a husband leaves for any reason during the middle of the get, so then he do another bitul modos afterwards before the nesinas haget. If he's here the whole time, he just do a very brief bitul modos. We confirm that he stands by everything he said before. And if he walked out or we're concerned, maybe he might have said something, then we do the whole full nusach of the bitul modos then as well. Okay, so then the husband authorizes the sofer, he appoints the sofer to write a get for him, and appoints the edim to sign a get. That's number 16 through number 18. So lechachila, the nusach that we have, which is the lechachila and seder a get, is ninosin lecharishus lichtov a get me'achad me'a gitin, achi achad kasher belishim pikbuk. So he authorizes, in case there's any mistake in the get, he authorizes the writing of another get. The lichachila, as it says in the Osios Ramah here, if a sofer makes a mistake in the middle of the writing of the get, he has to write another one. So lichachila, we have the baal do another full minoy before he writes another get to avoid any potential issue reira. But me'ikar adin, as long as you had the catch-all nusach in the beginning that he can write a filah me'agitin, then that's sufficient to authorize the writing of a second get if there is a mistake in the first get before the nesina saget. The ger cherish is another topic to itself. First of all, what a cherish is and the different seder a get for a ger cherish. So let's assume for the moment, even though this is a major machlokes achronim, whether a gecherish is any death newt, or as Rav Schechter would say, someone who is what we colloquially would more refer to as a shota, but someone who's not a full bardas. That's the whole discussion in the literature of the last 200 years. If someone is a fully functioning, fully intelligent deaf mute, is that halachically a cherish? But without getting onto that, we lechachila, even in a situation like that, would do the seder get cherish. Seder get cherish is that there are two gittin done. One, alitzad, that the cherish is a proper bardas, so then it's a regular get signed by two edim. Alitzad, that the cherish is lav bardas, so then it's a get signed by three dayanim, with the nusach of a maisa bet and mosav tlasa. Regular get is nusach nochach, baal speaking to the wife, that's the nusach you have on page one over here, and the nusach of the special get cherish is nusach abez and mosav tlasa beidin and chadavina, that we as a bezdin are affecting this gerishin to the extent that if kedushay cherish are only the rabbanon, and that's affected Bermiza with the involvement of the Bezdin, so the antidote to that would be a get or a banan as well. If you have someone who was nischaresh or nishtata after the chastana, so the kedushin was a proper kedushin, and then it was nischaresh, so then that's a major shaylif, bikra din israeli cheresh, so then he's not bar gerishin. So that would be a major problem. The ikar adin, the minimal minu that you need. Lechachilu, we say afilu megitin. The minimum minu that you need is to say that you write a get for me, you sign a get for me, and that the get should be lishmo lishagerishin. We had a case a couple months ago of a husband who was absolutely uncooperative, but he said, "I'm not willing to participate, but if you come meet me, I'll give you 10 minutes of my time." So we assumed. What he meant was that we would meet him, he'd do what we call a minoy nechbas. We'll skip a little bit. But the nechbas means a nechbas latzeis, that the husband is about to be carted off to jail or going on a journey to a faraway place, and we're worried he's never going to come back, and he only has 10 minutes to authorize a get. That's a classic case of a nechbas latzeis. So then, instead, normally speaking, if you authorize a get, I dish shliach, so the husband has to be there for the writing of the get, and then he gives the get to the shliach to deliver on his behalf after the get's written. But nechbas latzeis, so then you make all the authorizations meiros, you say that you be the shliach for a get that will be written, and then the get's written, shalob ifnei habal. So that all works when necessary. So we assume that with this guy, we do, or the other case where you have to do a nechbas, we only write gittin in a city where there's a kfiyas for that city. The proper kfiyas had to write the name of the city. Let's say a husband's in a place where there's no kfiyas, and he's not willing to travel to a place where there's a kfiyas. So you'll have to meet him. The misad and the sofer, the edim, will meet the husband in his city, and you can't write a get there. But he'll authorize the writing of a get. He'll authorize a get, what we call nechbas latzeis. So there it's not that the husband's in a rush. It's that the husband's not willing to come to a place where there's a kfiyas. Fine. That's another case where, practically speaking, it's the same. You do an F-buzz, and he authorizes the writing of the get, and then you go back to the city with the kfiyas and write the get there. Yeah. Kfiyas. 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 So that's, we only write a get in a city that, where you know the proper way of writing the city with the histapkus, with the water sources or the naharas. So that's, basically, Simon Kuf Kaf Ches. Simon Kuf Kaf Ches describes the details of how we determine the histapkus and what the water sources for a city are. But our general orientation is that we only, in order to be Kovei a city, so that's a complicated matter. And you have to get the gedolim together to be properly kovei the city to figure out what the stopkus is, and therefore the practice is we only write a get in a city that has a kvias. And if you need to be kovei a new place, so then you get together the rabbanim who know what they're talking about and establish how to write the. In New York City, before the war, there was a lot of hefkeris, many issues of halacha. One of them was Gittin. You know, some people in Brooklyn would write Brownsville and the neighborhood, and some places would write New York. So I think all the Rabbanim in the 1950s, the Gedolim in New York got together and were koveya how New York is written. So as uniform practice how to write New York. But the general practice is that if a city doesn't have a consensus kviya, so we don't get to there. Okay, so so the maisa that we had was, we assume that we meet up with this guy and he'd be Maman of the Sofer of the Eid, and we'd do a Seder get Ayyadei Nechbaz Latze. So we met him in his apartment lobby after he came home from work one day, and he said, I have no interest in this, I don't believe in this, I'm not doing anything. But we said, he said, you'd give us 10 minutes. So he said, yeah, I'll stay here for 10 minutes, do whatever you want, but don't involve me. So we pushed a little bit, and finally we said, do you still want to be married to your wife? He said, no, he said a lot of horrible things about her, so let's just do it. I don't believe in this. Happens to be that it was only a conservative wedding anyway, so the guy was only Lechumra. Fine. So I said, can you just... allow us to write a get for you to give to your wife. I said, okay. So he said, so say, you see this guy over here? Tell him, write a get for your wife. Okay. This guy, say, sign a get and give it to my wife. Okay. So that was the bare minimum minoy. You sign a get for me, write a get for me to give to my wife. Ada Sakar we didn't have, so we asked the doorman, was that so and so? And then we found this picture on the internet, so it all checked out. You may have encountered the topic of writing two gittin m'mnei a safek. There are certain situations where they talk in Shulchan Aruch about writing two gittin because they have a safek about one of the names. So by the Hasidic Shabbat, then they're more prone to write two gittin. By us, we cannot never write two gittin. It raises issues of Breyer, there's an Oda Behuda, so you have to be careful that if you write two gittin, you tell the Baal the first time that you don't mention that you're going to write a second get, so the Baal is fully, and you don't tell the Sofer the Edom either, ideally. So they think this is the only get that we're doing, and then after you say, oh, I made a mistake, let's do another one. So you know, you have to navigate these potential brayer issues, which is why almost always you're able to figure out a kviya shemos that is going to be kasher. That's going to be kosher, so that you avoid the need to have two gittin. The only time we really do two gittin is by the get chevish, because that's a whole different parsha where the two gittin are totally different. One is a regular get, and one is balash and bezdin. But there is a notion of two gittin that then you have to be careful to avoid potential brera problems. You know, the general principle when it comes to shemos is when in doubt, leave it out. That's what Rabbi Willig likes to say. So even you know, sometimes you have a suffix of a name. So if it's going to be, you have a suffix about the shem kodesh. So anyway, our practice is, it's not Rav Henkin's practice, but our general practice, the practice of most Bate Din, is that if you have a shem kodesh, that's nishtaka, it's not in use at all. Person knows her Hebrew name, but they never gets an aliyah, is never called by the Hebrew name, so we leave it out because that's a major chashash that the name, if the name is Nishtaka, may not, the person's not identified by the name anymore, so that may create a psul. So even if you have, so we assume, the beginning of Kuf Kaf Tes, that Chanicha Shekol Karim Bo is definitely kosher. So even if the person has a Shem Kodesh, that even if he does sometimes get aliyahs, so he'll get Elias by his Shem Kodesh, but everyone calls him, he'll get an occasional Elias by Yaakov, but everyone calls him Jeffrey. So everyone calls him Jeffrey, right? Jeffrey, that's a Chanicha Shokol Karim, but that's definitely Kasher without question. So in a case like that, let's say you had a Safek, Safek Yishayu Yishayahu. That's one of the classic cases of Tugitin. You don't know what his real name is. Usually it's relevant to the father of the Megaresh. The Megaresh hopefully knows what his name is. Nowadays people don't know their name either. If they don't know their name, it's probably Nishtaka. But sometimes maybe the father was from. But the kid is so far removed, he doesn't really know what the father's name was. The father's in the Olam Emes, and they don't know whether it's Yishai Yishayahu. So that's one of the classic cases where it says to write to Gittin. But the father, even if he was Olas, Yishai Yishayahu, but everyone called him Sam. So then, if you write Sam, that's a chanicha shel kol karmba, that's definitely kosher. We should talk about some more shameless issues or go into the rest of the Seder again. So if the Shem Kodesh is not used, we write Joshua Demiskeri Josh. If we would write Joshua Demiskeri Josh, if the Shem Kodesh is not in use at all, as long as either if you're not writing the Shem Kodesh and the person is Chosem, let's say the guy's legal name is Joshua, and Evan calls him Josh, but he signs checks as Joshua. So a shem chasima, the din is that you can be makdim a shem chasima, but you can't write a shem chasima second as a mechun or a demiskeri because no one calls him that. So let's say the guy's name is Yehoshua, and he signs his name as Joshua, and everyone calls him Josh. So we're always makdim, always. We're generally makdim a shem kodesh. If it's a shem kodesh meirisa, if that was the name that was given to him at birth, his name was Yehoshua. And he gets Elias as Yeshua, so we write Yeshua first, even if everyone calls him Josh. But once you're Malkim Yeshua, you can't write Yeshua Hamachuna Joshua, because Hamachuna means no one is Joshua. He's not known as Joshua, no one calls him Joshua. He signs Joshua, but no one knows him as Joshua. He's not called that. So then you leave out the Shem Chasima, and you just write Yeshua Hamachuna Josh. But let's say the guy is not from, he's not Ola Torah, Yeshua is Nishtaka. And the Shem Chasim is Joshua, and everyone calls him Josh. So then you write Joshua, the Miskeri Josh. Because then you can be Makdim the Shem Chasim, because you're not be Makdim anything else. You're not saying he's called Joshua. You're saying Joshua, that's his legal name. The Miskeri Josh. But if he's not Chosem at all, the name and his passport is Josh, is Joshua. He signs his name as Josh, or he signs it as a scribble. Everyone calls him Josh. So then we just write Josh. Diana Bromsky in London apparently had the practice of writing the Shem passport, the name that appears in the legal document, even if it's not Bishima, Shlo, Bikriya, Velo, Bechasima. And that's Chiddush. No one else does that, but they still do that in the London Bez Din. They write the Shem passport, the legal name, even if it's not Bishima. So if you're leaving out the Shem Kodesh, in that case, in London, they would write, if the guy is not Chosem Joshua, that's just the name of the passport, in London, they would write Joshua to Miskri Josh, and we would just write Josh.
If the middle name
is not the Shemesh, then that's the Nishaka. That's not, or it was never used, so that's not written. In London, if that's the name that appears in the passport, they would write the full legal name. Yep.
What's the practice here, do you know?
In Eretz Yisrael?
The Tudat Zehut is kovea for everything.
But not for a get, if it's not, as much as, as important as the Tudat Zehut is, it still doesn't trump halacha. So if there's a name of the Tudat Zehut that's not used, they wouldn't write it. I guess so. Rudy and Seamus will talk about a few more Seamus nekudas, and tell me whenever you want me to stop. Is there an official ending now? We go over ready? Okay. Fine. I'll tell me when to stop. So we write, the Mishnah Gittin Lamadal, Hiskin and Gadliel. That we write the Shem HaBaal, Shem HaMiskareshes, and the Shem Avi HaBaal and Avi HaMiskareshes as well. So we assume, Nala Debaal Iter, that, like Tosas there in Lamadala, that a Tos B'Shem HaAv apostles. So if you write, like Haspasa, right? Haspasa is v'davar nadav l'v'davar aser. You don't need aspas at all, but if your maskus and nadav has to be done properly. So you don't. If you leave out the shema av, the gets kosher. Lechachi, we write the Shema Av. If you leave it out, it's kosher. But if you make a mistake with the Shema Av, according to Rav Yishonim, the apostles. Shema Av Miskaresh, this may be a drama or a kal. So if that ever comes up, there may be what to talk about. But in principle, tell us B'Shema Av Pasul. So that's why, sometimes if you have a suffix B'Shema Av, then you're better off to leave out the Shema Av than to run the risk of writing a Shema that's Pasul. Or this is relevant, let's say, in the following situation. By a Ger or Gioras, we write Ben Avram Avinu. Common practice is, this is pretty late, but common practice is that if the Ger or Gioras is not observant of Torah Mitzvos, even if the Geras was a good Geras at the time, but now they're Chazal Asura, so then you don't write Ben Avram Avinu because it's not right to associate Avram Avinu with such a person, then you write Hager or Hagioras. The Rabbi Shimon Jacobi, who was the previous Mankal Bat Hedin Rabbanayim, came out with a study a few years ago when he was still in his position. He was a Yoif Mishpati before, I think he's a Yoif Mishpati again for the Rabbanut. So he did a study of all the Gittin done and all the Bat Hedin, and it was something like 90% of Gerim who received Gittin, Rabbanu Gerim who received Gittin, they wrote Hager Hagiros is supposed to have been Avram Avinu. Okay. So, but let's say you have the following situation. You have someone, there's a Gerim Misafik, so you don't know, maybe the person was Jewish, maybe not, he did a Gir Lachomra. So if the person was Jewish and the father was Jewish, so then you write the Shema Av. If the person wasn't Jewish, you write Ben Avram Avinu. Safik. So leave it out entirely. Why run the risk of doing something that might potentially create a psal? If the father is not Jewish and the mother is Jewish, that's what it says in the Dagum Ravava, that we write the mother's name, or Mari Bar Rachel. So the father wasn't Jewish and the mother's Jewish, then you write Mari Bar Rachel. So probably the lechachila probably thing to do nuksub also, though there are other considerations and possibly other things to rely on. We don't write on a rifik sinaget. Emkasa ploni achacham arav anasi. Alpha bishen karin esokain gamin abarachi aget kosher kemi sheiskus shmo beferish. So the Mechaber says, Mikra din, if you write an honorific, even if he doesn't deserve the honorific, as long as you get the name right, then that's kosher. But the Ramah says, Chachila and Gosvin, Rav HaChacham, Afilu Hu O Aviv Rav HaChacham, Muchza Bekach, El HaKosvin Ploni Ben Ploni. So well, we don't write honorifics in a get. We once had a conservative rabbi who came to us, and we did a get for her, and she said, I'm a rabbi, so you should include the title in a get. So we said, no, we never include honorifics in a get. The Ramah says that we write Kohen Olevi. Plenty of plenty of Kohen Olevi. So Mechaber, there's no reference to writing Kohen Levi, so many Sfaradim don't write Kohen Levi. In Eretz Yisrael, my impression is that some of the Batei Din have different practices. Some Batei Din will write, there's a very heavy Sfaradi influence in the Batei Din, even for Ashkenazim here. So some Batei Din, even the Sfaradi influenced ones, do write Kohen, some don't, different practices, but among Ashkenazim, L'chachila, we write Kohen Levi. If we know, again, when in doubt, leave it out. If there's a suffix, you have a non-observant person who says they're a Kohen, but they don't really know what that means. So then it's hard to know whether they really know what they're talking about, or a Levi. So you ask them, did your father not go to cemeteries? Did he get the first Aliyah? If that all checks out, you write a Kohen. But if there's any doubt, then if you don't write a Kohen, it's definitely kosher. If you write a Kohen and it's not, then there's a major shiloh. And the 3 days in Rishonim, whether or if to write Kol Shum De Isli Ulav Hasi. So that's 2 days in Tosafot there on Lamed Daled. So the practice among Sfaradim is to write of a Kol Shum. The practice among Ashkenazim is not to write of a Kol Shum. In Eretz Yisrael, in many but they didn't even for Ashkenazim to write of a Kol Shum because of the Sfaradi influence. The Samach Lokas that you have there in the Bali Tosafot on Lamed Daled is, do you write V'chol Shum? So we Ashkenazim, we never write V'chol Shum. Fine. If you do write V'chol Shum, do you write V'chol Shum only if there are aliases, or even if not? You know, the guy, Evan calls him Yaakov. He has no other name. So that's the Machlok of the Bali Tosis there. the common practice amongst Sfaradim is saying the Reiv Chal Shum, even if there are no names, and we know there are no other names, as a catch-all. But that's a three machlokas Rishonim. Always, never, or only if you know that there is a that there is an alias. And then you probably encountered the Rebbeinu Tanner about Shalola Haskir Shemakum Beget. So what does that mean, Shalola Haskir Shemakum Beget? So presumably Shemakum is a real name that's Biyuchad Lavod Zarah. So even a name like Chris is not really Biyuchad Lavod Zarah these days, even if originally that's where it came from. So it's rare. It would have to be a case where someone schmatted out and then adopted an idolatrous name to have that case where you don't write Shemakim and then you write V'chol Shem. We only had that once. We had a guy who became a Hindu, I think. Either a Hindu or a Buddhist. I always confuse them. I think it was a Hindu. And there he had this Mamish Shemufak L'Avodah Zarah, which is the name of one of the Avodah Zarahs. So in that case, we wrote his Shem Kodesh V'chol Shem, which is the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. But usually we don't have that. Okay, so let's go back to the Seder again. Yeah.
Can we talk about the Nesina a little bit?
Okay, let's go back to the Seder again and talk about the Nesina. So the Adam and the Sofer have to be present. The Ikar Adin, they all have to be present for the Shita Rishona, Afilu Shama Kankomus. So they just have to be in the room for the Shita Rishona. You know, some say the Dafka shouldn't be there the whole time. Shalol Hosi Lazlo get the Rishona. Okay, you walk in, walk out. If the eight leaves during the Ktivas Haget, he has to have a simon so that he recognizes what the get is when he comes back. So if he leaves the room, he has to take a simon, some identifying feature on the get, so he'll recognize the get when he comes back. I'm sorry? How long does it take to write the get? So we have this fastest sofer in North America. I used to think he was the fastest sofer in the world until I sat in on some gittin in Tel Aviv, and they have a faster sofer. I think our sofer is still pretty good. So our sofer, Bianca Lichter, will write a get in typically 18 to 20 minutes. If he's really in a rush, he could do it in 15. The sofer in Tel Aviv seemed to clock around 15 consistently. But there's Manish, it's like Rav Nata Greenblatt was like, isn't referred to the Bez in Tel Aviv as the Shuk. Because I went to Rabbi Ben Yaakov, who I'm close to Baruch Hashem, phenomenal koach. It's like he'll do, this is Israel, so the Bez is open from 8:30 to 1:30, and they only have appointments till like 12:30. So I was there from 8:30 to 12:30. He did, I think, 8 gittin. By us, with our fastest sofer in North America, it takes us an hour for Seder again. Between sitting down, Chakir Shemos, and the Minuyim, and the writing, and the Chasima, and the Nesina, an hour. Could be done in 50 minutes if they're short names, fine. So the 8 gittin in about 3 hours. So he starts with the Chakir Shemos with one. Then he sends him to the next room and the Ramana, the Sofer, and the Adam. And then the Sofer and the Adam start writing the get. And then the second couple comes in. He does a Chakir Shemus for them. He sends them back in. So while the Sofer is writing the first get, the Sofer has a different package of a Klei Ksiva. So he's makna the Klei Ksiva to the second husband. And then he goes back to writing the first get. And then they're doing the Chakir Shemus for the third couple. By that time, the first get's done. So they send the first get back in to do the Masira for the first couple. And then they start writing the second get while the third guy comes in for his Minuyim. It's, I don't know how you do that. But he's very talented. Okay, so the get's written. And so the Edom have to read the get before they sign it. They sign it Zeb of Nezeb. And fine, let's move on to the Nesina. Back on the Seder Get. So it says that you should have a minion for the Nesina Saget. Where generally not so makbid about that. Rabbi Wallhender, Zichrono Livracha, who wrote a Sefer on Gittin, he was the author of the Mishnah Berurah Chadash, the controversially titled Sefer Hilchas Nida, Gufei Halacha. So he also wrote a Sefer on Gittin. He was Mesader Gittin. He was of the Netuei Karta persuasion, or at least relatively that's where he was. But I went to Seder Gepa here once, and he told me that he's makbid to have a minion for the Nesina Saget, but he's makel to include women. Minions for piercing by chalitza, it's more necessary for the piercing of Avder Maisa, where no one's really makbid to have a minion for Nesina Saget anymore. Okay, so it says, Yitzav al-Isha shethasir tabas shabiyadeha, fine. So there can't be a chatzisa l'chachila between the get when it comes to the woman's hands, and she holds her hands like this. The husband holds the get over her hands. We confirm that the woman is also mekabel esaget mirtzona atov. Don't want to run into any chayim ben gershom issues of giving a get to the isha bal karcha. And the woman can't be misayeya, it says. So the husband has to give the get to the wife directly. She can't be misayeh. So she has to stand there with her hands passively to let the baal do the entire nesina into her hands. We fold up the get. We're not eager that the entire get has to come into her hands. It has to be folded kach so that the entire thing comes in. I think Rav Schechter says that Moshe Soloveitchik was makbid for that. I don't know how often Moshe Soloveitchik was involved in the gittin. But generally, we're not super makbid that the entire thing is the get basically goes into her hands, even if some of it sticks out. We generally assume that is sufficient. And then, once you do proper nesina, so she's kofetzi siyadel, lifts it up, makes a kinyan, and at the cover all bases, she walks with it a few steps to do all the kinyan. So then the Edim have to read the get again, la'achar ha-mesira, that's me'ikar adin, according to Tosfos, that could even be li'guva, that if the Edim mesira don't read the get after the mesira, that could be a major problem. Then we do a krab ezin on the get, we symbolically rip it, different reasons, whether that's me'ikar adin from the Rishonim, or what, that's what the Gemara means, or that's a later, something later. And then it says that you should mention the Cherem Bein Tam, the Tamid Bein Moshe, not to be Motzi Laz Alaget. So there's also a Cheshbin based on something Rabbi Bleich wrote, based on a Beis Ephraim. You can read this article in Sinas Halacha that we added to our Seder Aget to account for Rabbi Bleich's opposition to writing Gittin in New York State because of the Get Law, that if you're Mekabel B'Shvua, that you're giving the get mitzvah tov, that could potentially obviate a chashash isoy. So the way we're menaseich, if you look in our English Seder Aget, we have at the end, be aware there have been a time in the student or been a motion post the chayrim upon anyone who questions the validity of the get after it has been given, to acknowledge that you gave the get of your own free will, and that could have the status of a shvua that might potentially solve a get law problem. And then we're master of the women, that the Isser Isser Lekohen and the Din of Havchana, and we also tell people about the Isser Yichud, that if they're mitzakid again, they may be back in the office again for a second time, and we wouldn't want that to happen. It has happened on occasion, but they have to be master of them about the Isser Yichud. Should we take 5 minutes for any other questions or stop? Okay, solved all the world's problems. Yeah. Yeah. Especially by Libo Gaspa. Yeah, we've had a few situations where that came up, and you know, the complicated one was where the husband then refused to give her a second get. So we did a field trip once, because they apparently were misyachid in a certain apartment building, so we went to see the layout of the apartment building and if there are other from people on the floor in the building, whether it potentially would have been a deichud.
If they both voted, there was no pia.
It's still, yeah. Potentially, we'd have to Yeah.
Going back to the mental illness discussion. Mm-hmm. So, if somebody has clear signs of like mental illness otherwise, why does the Pratika work? But the Pratika was there in case they were like, you don't know. For example, somebody was silenced and we don't know whether he's able to talk. But like, if we know somebody has mental illness, why is it asking Dr. Jack to
I think you're correct. If we know that someone has a kind of mental illness that rises to the level of a halachic impediment, we know that objectively that questions won't help. But if often you may have a situation where it's on the borderline, or the representation is that certain times are in a better state than others, so then that that would be used to at least as a baseline for where they're holding now.
About
Gepi Masa Basin.
Doesn't the Mishnah say that it can be written at night?
The Mishnah.
So it's Nechta
Be'alayla, Nechta
Be'yom.
Right. Nechta Be'yom and Nechta Be'alayla.
That one's no good.
I'm sorry? Right.
The other one.
Now, technically speaking, I guess the Mesirah could be the next morning, even if it's a situation like that. But one of the rise in the other direction is Rabbeinu Gershom, Atu Kolim Megarish, Bezni Megarish. So Rabbeinu Gershom has Asu Kolim Megarish, Bezni Rabbeinu Megarish. But if you don't know that Gersa, Atu Kolim Megarish, Bezni Megarish sounds like the Gemara in Bava Basra, sounds like you don't need a Bezni for a Gersh, for a Get.
The line between not allowing a get yisoy, but all the things that we do to force a guy to give a get, like even this, like you saw threat in China nowadays.
Yeah, so that's going to take more than a minute. Mm-hmm. You want to answer it? I'll do as al regalachas as possible, but that's simen kuf nundali. There is something called achakas rabbeinu tam, right? Achakas rabbeinu tam, different versions of Rishon, what exactly the parameters are. But Rechakas Rabbeinu Tam allows certain forms of social pressure to encourage a husband to give a get, even in situations potentially where there's no actual psak of kfiyah, either because one Yisuch Rabbeinu Tam, that he has the ability to go somewhere else, that even if you're going to bother him here, he can go to another country, another state, and people won't bother them there, or because these are a miniyah of certain things that he is, a miniyah's zechus is not necessarily isa. If you take away something that the person, a luxury that the person, the person doesn't have a right to an aliyah, so you don't give him aliyah and shul, you're taking away a luxury. You're not invoking any kind of isa mamon per se. So there, you have chakas rabbeinu tam, those kinds of communal pressure not to do business with the person, which even in the absence of a psak of chiv or kofel legarish could be acceptable. The lashon haRama in the end of Siman Kuf Nundalid is yichalun ligzor al kol Yisrael shel alasa so shem tova lisa v'lita nimo olam ol banav al kavram achi garish. As long as you don't do nidoy. Fine. So that's a baseline of a chakas rabbeinu tam, which could exist according to many versions of Rishonim, even without a psak of kfiyah. The Rabbanut sometimes will paskin chayv lagarish or kofin lagarish. So in that situation, then isoy is actually warranted. So in America, there are we'll never paskin chayv lagarish because just about every situation where there's a potential chayv lagarish is talib machlokis. If you go through all the piskei tshuvas in kuf lamadal, kuf nadal with the shaks of gros hanashim, just about everything's talib machlokis. So it's hard to get a case where l'chol adeyas you can paskin chayv and definitely paskin kofin. Aside from the fact that if you're going to paskin kofin, practically there's no mechanism for doing that in America. In Eretz Yisrael, they're a little more liberal with paskining kviya, where they think it's warranted, and if they do paskin kviya, so then there are these methods at their disposal that they can use here.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Yeah. See you.
Good seeing you. Everything?
Sure. We're still here.
Yeah. I'm sure people